Okay, good evening. Welcome back to our learning at Sha'arei, Erev Rosh Chodesh Nisan. We are on page 162 of the second Sefer, please. We are learning Le'ilui Nishmasa and Le'zecha Nishmasa, Miriam Frill and Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Alaha Hashal, Mehon Hashem, have an Aliyah, and the merit of our Torah. Also, Le'zecha Nishmasa, I was asked to dedicate this class. The Yeshiva ended this morning for the Hirsch family. Le'ilui Nishmasa and Le'zecha Nishmasa, Chaim Moshe Ben Binyamin Tzvi, Alaha Hashem. His family have a lot of koach and nechama, menuchas and nefesh that they need during this very, very difficult and painful time. On page 162 of the second Sefer, please. Okay? We're at the bottom, okay? So what we will do is just go back and read one paragraph back. Yet those who emphasize fear of punishment so as to avoid, so we're talking about how do we stay away from sin, and do we fear the Ribbono Shel Olam? Do we fear the punishment? What exactly motivates us to not sin on the one hand? And the week before, we learned about what motivates us to do mitzvos on the other hand. I don't know if anybody has been working on the idea of what do we appreciate more, in money or mitzvos, and where do we see a better chance or a greater chance of grabbing gems for ourselves. And I have been working on, I mentioned it this week, I had a certain instant this week, another Nisayan, and I hodu Hashem ki tov with that machshava in mind, that a mitzvah is worth much more than any monetary value. I really did pass a certain Nisayan this week, so I don't know if anyone else is working on it. It's really very helpful for me, Baruch Hashem. Yet those who emphasize fear of punishment, everyone knows what I'm talking about, right? What do we value more, the money or the mitzvah? Okay. Yeah, those who emphasize fear of punishment, I'm just going back to the last paragraph, so as to avoid the aforementioned danger, had an opposite problem. It's most difficult to attain fear of punishment, so they had to toil for a long time, and consequently, they did not make normal progress in other areas. We ended with this last time. People have worked this up for up to 30 years and remained on this one level. So we said, of course, listen, a person works their whole life, not only 30 years, they work their whole life, but you want to hope that you're not staying on the same level, whether you're learning to read Hebrew, or whether you're learning Machshav, or whether you're learning, a person's learning Kabbalah, the secrets of Torah, whatever they're learning, you want to make sure you're advancing. Fear of punishment, you don't always want to remain on the same level. It turns out both methods are risky. We need to know how to safely navigate. Okay, new section. The possibilities of avoda through fear of punishment. There is a solution for this problem of attaining this fear, but it's not perfect. So what should you do? It's meant only for those whose mind is very weak, talk of page 163, and cannot work on fear of punishment through the simple power of imagination. So what you really need to do is be able to imagine that in order to stay away from sin, that Admei Vasim Shana, there's a concept of Tzchar and Onesh, and we believe in that, as difficult and as frightening as that must be. And if I can conceptualize Tzchar, reward, and Onesh, punishment, that can help me stay away from sin. I have to use the simple power of imagination. This method is to read. So what should you do? If you can't work on fear of punishment through your imagination, let's say you cannot possibly imagine Onesh, then you should read and study the works Maseches Gehenim and Maseches Chibur HaKever. That's Kever, the grave, and Gehenim. And I don't know if for us, the people that we are and on our level, I don't think anyone here is going to do this. I don't know if it's so advisable. We do have to have fear of punishment, but we should also be motivated by the more positive in our avodas Hashem. We should be motivated by reward and positivity, not only fear and terror. And in addition to this, to amplify one's fear of suffering and pain in this world as well. Okay, let's repeat that last sentence. What should you do if you can't envision punishment? You should study the works Maseches Gehenim. That is the tractate of hell, literally translated. And Maseches Chibut HaKever, which is the tractate of what will happen to the person in the grave. And you should amplify your fear of suffering, amplify one's fear of suffering, pain in this world. So I think this is a hard concept for us, because we don't want to be so negative. Our approach to Avodas Hashem should not be so negative that I'm delving into the tractate that deals with Gehenna, that deals with the fire of hell. But I was thinking that when we talk about amplify one's fear of suffering and pain in this world, that's something we could all relate to. Nobody, Rechman al-San, wants to suffer pain in this world. And it really relates to the parsha. This week's parsha is Tazria, next week is Mitzorah. The last two parshios before Pesach, Be'ezras Hashem. So you have this condition of tzara'as. And tzara'as is a biblical malady, and from temple times, we don't have it anymore. It is erroneously, I say this in many classes, I will continue to say in many classes, erroneously translated as leprosy. That is not correct. Leprosy is a physical ailment. It is contagious. Like flu and pneumonia are contagious. She coughed on me. I shared a drink with her. I touched her hand. It was full of saliva. You can catch a disease. Tsara'as, translating as leprosy, would indicate that it is a contagious illness. It's not true. My definition of tsara'as is a spiritual illness with physical manifestation. Let me repeat it. Tsara'as is a spiritual illness with a physical manifestation. The person is sick on the level of his soul. There is a deficiency in his character trait. There is something innately wrong with this person's midos. And therefore, he acted on negative midos, on negative character traits. The primary reason, of course, being for the affliction of tsara'as lashon hara. And God punished him with a physical manifestation. What do you think of that?
It's so hard for us to understand. Like, if you know that the punishment is coming, and you know that everyone's going to see, and it's embarrassing in public, and it's on your body, it's so hard to understand, like, why would they still think lashon hara?
So therefore what? It's really what?
It's outside.
It's what?
I think it's outside. Like it's on that.
So the fact that it's a spiritual illness with a physical manifestation is really a chesed of Hashem.
Oh.
It's really to our great loss that we do not have this anymore. Why? Because if you... Exactly. It's a gift of Hashem. If you... What? We wouldn't have to envision and use our imagination and spend so much time imagining the power of our words. Imagine exactly right what Yiras Onesh would be. Listen, I'm going to be stricken. Everybody's going to know. It's going to be embarrassing. I'm going to be kicked out of all three camps. I'm going to dwell in solitary isolation. I have to stand at the crossroads screaming to any passerby, Tame, Tame, I'm impure. Don't come near me. Look what I did. It's very embarrassing. It's mamish a present. It's a chesed of Hashem that he gave us this physical consequence to a spiritual illness. The fact that we don't have it anymore is woe unto us. It's a consequence of the churban because we don't even appreciate what comes out of our mouths. It's very hard to envision the suffering that will result from chet, from the sin of dibur, because we don't have the physical manifestation anymore, and therefore we have to use our power of imagination. So you said it's very hard to envision. You're right, it is. What does it mean that the house, the walls of the house have an affliction? I have no idea. Reddish red, greenish green, white, yellow spots. I have no idea what this is. We can't even envision what it is, but it was definitely a chesed Hashem. So what we can do is amplify our fear of suffering and pain in this world as well. We have to try without this gift anymore to try and envision what would happen if I really spoke lashon hara. Yes.
But in a way, I think the gift is still here because you're still going to be punished for. You still have to face the consequences of negative acts. If you choose to get into a car after you've had three beers and you're driving while you're intoxicated, you're going to most likely
suffer the consequences. But the problem is we don't foresee that ahead of time. Too often we don't foresee that ahead of time.
Yeah.
That's where we lack vision. So, use that as a muscle for the next world. You're right. If I drank three beers, if I did misdeeds in this world, then the next world I'm going to have a problem. But we don't envision that. We don't envision it. You're right, but it's very hard for us to imagine. We will try to describe the true depth of fear of punishment. Like you just said, sorry, you just said, your sonus will be so much more amplified. Right? Isn't that what you said? It is important that everyone strive to benefit from these words of the greatest possible extent, each according to his ability. The root of the problem of those who have worked only with fear of punishment is they tend to forget Hashem. In other words, chas v'shalom, God forbid, you focus on their fear of punishment. You become so fixated on what's going to happen to me, and I'm going to suffer, then we forget that there's a bore olam. I heard a beautiful var today about forgetting Hashem. I teach a class in Flatbush Wednesday mornings, Baruch Hashem, so I have a long drive both ways, so I try and listen to a shir online. I listened to a shir by Rav Shai Shechter that he gave yesterday morning. I never heard this pshat before. Arami oved avi vayerid mitzrayma. Okay, an Aramean enslaved my father, and we went down to Egypt, and we dwelt there, small number. Arami Oved Avid, according to most interpretations, is Lavan, who was Bikesh La'akar Asakol. According to most interpretations, the Aramean who enslaved my father was Lavan, We wanted to uproot everything. Rav Soloveitchik has a very powerful piece on Lavan, related to this piece that we read at the Seder in the Haggadah. He says, Lavan proves hatred of the Jew can reach psychopathic proportions. Lavan proves hatred of the Jew can reach psychopathic proportions. He was ready to destroy his own children if it meant eradicating Yaakov. It's a very powerful piece. But Rav Soloveitchik quoted a tremendous verb by the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says, what is the true goal of our enemy? Bechol dar v'dar amdi malenu chaloseinu? Not only to destroy our physical selves, to destroy our spiritual selves. Why were the Nazis so interested in burning the Gemara? Why did they take Sifrei Torah? I saw it in the Museum of Torah in Los Angeles. You could see it in many Holocaust museums. They made the Sifrei Torah into drum skins and into soles of the shoes, and they desecrated our holy works. Why were they trying to do not only destroy our physicality? That wasn't enough for them. They wanted to vandalize every shul. In turn, I was in Poland. They turned the shuls into stables. They turned the shuls into libraries. They turned the shuls, the Makomos HaKadoshim, into horses' stables. Arami Oved Avi says this Sfas Emes, an Aramean wanted to destroy my relationship with my father. Arami, listen to what I'm saying, please. It's very beautiful. Arami Oved Avi. Why don't we start the Haggadah by power? Why are you starting the Haggadah by an Aramean wanting to save my father? Why are you starting the Haggadah by Lavan? Isn't the whole point of the Haggadah by Yerim Mitzrayim? So start by Yerim Mitzrayim, by Yagosham Bim Seimat. Start with, we descended to Egypt. We were only 70 in number. We were few in number. What is the introduction, Arami Oved Avi? Are we talking about Lavan or are we talking about something else? Arami Oved Avi. The goal of the anti-Semite in every generation is to destroy our connection with our father. Arami Oved Avi. That's what the Sfas Emes says. Every enemy in every generation has wanted to do with us. Destroy our connection. Make us forget that there is a Ribono Shel Olam running this world. Where's your God? They said. He has abandoned you. It can't possibly be there's a Ribono Shel Olam and you're facing such nisyonos from the Umos HaOlam. This is the goal in every generation. They want us to forget Hashem. So when I sat down to prepare, and I just heard that today, and they want us, so going back to the Sefer, okay, beautiful verb for your Pesach Seder. Page 163, the root of the problem of those who have worked only with fear of punishment is they tend to forget Hashem, Arami Oved Avi, Chas V'Shalom, and they focus on their own fear of punishment. This is where they begin their Avodas Hashem, and this is where they end. So in other words, you become so fixated on the punishment, welcome, come in. You become so fixated on the punishment. We're on page 163, ladies. You become so fixated on the punishment that you forget that there's a Ribono Shel Olam. Rav Chatzko Levenstein made a very profound comment related to this. So before I continue, I'm going to tell you a story that my son told me about Rav Chatzko. Rav Chatzko Levenstein, known as Rav Chatzko, was a Rosh Yeshiva in Mir, Poland, before the war. And then after the war, he had tremendous hashpa in many institutions, including the Mir in Yerushalayim and Panovich. So my son told me the following story. Rav Chatzko was very, very serious. And one day in Panovich, in Eretz Yisrael, he was smiling. And he was laughing. And they said, why is Rosh Yeshiva, the Mashgiach, why are you laughing? Why is the Rav laughing? So he says, I'll tell you why. It used to be in the Mir in Poland, they were always late with my payment. So I always daven to Hashem. Hashem, please let me make my parnasa. Please let me get paid, because they were always late. And now here, they're very on time with my payment. This month, they're late. So I'm happy. I'm smiling because now I remember Hashem is the source of all. Hashem is the Kol Yachal. Hashem is the one who provides. It reminds me to daven to Hashem, to ask for parnasa. When my son told me the story, he told him the story of Elimelech Biderman brings down, which you may or may not have heard. There's a certain baker. He was a very pious man, and he was a Talmud Chacham. But to make parnasa, he had to bake his bread. He woke up early in the morning, and he baked the bread. And while he was baking, while he was mixing the ingredients, Hashem, please let the temperature be exactly right. And while the dough was rising, he said, Hashem, please let the temperature rise the dough perfectly. And while he was baking the bread, he said, please, Hashem, let the dough bake perfectly. It shouldn't be underdone. It shouldn't be burnt. And while he was selling the bread at the street corner, he would say, Hashem, please let there be customers. And the whole day, he was having to be bonus. But he was a Talmud Chacham. And one day, a wealthy Gavir, Rabbi Biderman, brings down the story, which is what I told my son when he told me the story of Rav Chatzko. So a wealthy Gavir comes, and he sees the Talmud Chacham at the town crossroad. Who wants to buy bread? He says, I'm going to make a deal with you. I'm going to pay your toll, parnas. I'm going to support you. You go sit and learn Torah. Hold up the world with your Torah. I will pay parnas. So you don't have to sell bread anymore. So they entered into an arrangement. A month later, the wealthy Gvir comes back to town and he sees this guy at the town crossroads. Who wants to buy bread? Who wants to buy bread? So he takes him to Beis Din. Takes him to Beis Din. We had a contract. What was the contract? I'm going to support him. He's going to learn Torah. He breached the contract. I find him selling bread. So the baker said, listen, it's true we had a contract. But when I was a baker, I spent the whole day talking to Hashem. Hashem, please let the ingredients be fresh. Hashem, please let the dough rise. Rabbi Biderman tells us over, please let the dough rise. Hashem, please let the bed be baked delicious. Hashem, please send me customers. Now I sit and learn, and I forget to talk to Hashem because I know who the payment is coming from. I don't want this arrangement anymore. I'm backing out of the deal. But we have to have an awareness of the Ribbono Shel Olam in our life. That's what the Mechaber here is saying. We can only be so afraid of punishment that we forget that there's an address. Capital A, that we forget that there is an only one. Rav Chatzko Levenstein made a very profound comment. By delving into it, we can learn, I'm going back in the Sefer, how to reach closest to Hashem through fear of punishment. But the point of those stories is we should strive to reach closeness to Hashem without fear of punishment. We want to reach a level. We have to have a healthy sense of Yerusha Onesh, but we should not. Someone once said to me, who has many difficult situations. I'm not saying a judgment, chas v'sham. I'm stating what was said. Amen said that their vision of the Ribbono Shel Olam is that he's standing with a gun pointed at her head. Oh, no, it's a serious thing. I'm not like making a chayzik, and it's a person with many difficult situations. And this is not a judgment. So we need to learn something from this. We shouldn't be so afraid of punishment, I don't think. But that should be our vision, our relationship with God. We need to have a relationship with love. Shir Shirim is a love story between Knesset Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. We can't feel. We should not feel. It's not healthy to feel. But the Almighty is standing over me with a gun pointed at my head. Chas v'shalom. He's Avinu and he's Malkeinu. I think we just have to be careful. I'm not saying not to have Yerusha Onesh. We should have Yerusha Onesh. But just to balance it out with Ahavas Hashem in a positive sense. Arami Oved Avi, they wanted to destroy, to cause us to forget Hashem. You have to remember the Ribbono Shel Olam is kind and caring and loving and sympathetic. Did everyone see that Zecharia Baumel came home today? You didn't see?
Nobody told me.
I almost feel like I had a personal Yeshua.
Could we do the learning in Azchus for my nephew is donating the kidney to my great nephew tomorrow morning? So can we do it in their names? Can I just say their names?
Now? All right. Yeah.
Okay. Yonah Binyamin ben Fred Malka and Binyamin ben Chaya Sarah Shenachasha.
Is this for Rafua?
One is donating kidney to another.
Wow. Tizku and mitzvos. Wow. Tizku and mitzvos. And the schus of the mitzvah should be the schus that brings them both refuah and success from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Wow. What was I saying? Zecharia Baumel came home today. No one knows what I'm talking about?
Wait, no.
I don't want to go too much off of topic. But I just want you to know, I feel like I had a personal Yeshua. I daven for him every day. I could not believe when I opened the news this morning and I saw, do you know that they brought him home, not only his remains, but his clothing and his tzitzis were returned to his family? He was captured in the Lebanon War in 1982. He has been an MIA for 32 years.
Goodness.
I daven for him in Matir Asurim, Hadar Golden, Aaron Shaul, Ran Arad, Zecharia Baumel. So we should not only Chalila v'chas have a vision of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why this is a little bit difficult. I'm not saying we shouldn't have Yerusha Onesh. You should. It's not good to speak Lashon Hara. The Metzora sits outside the camp and he suffers the consequences in this world and Chalila in the next world. You should have a healthy sense of a fear of punishment, but we shouldn't terrify ourselves by learning Maseches Ganim and Maseches Chibur HaKever. And I imagine that God is standing over with a gun pointed at my head. The Almighty God is Baal Chesed par excellence. He is the source of Chesed. Olam Chesed Yibaneh. But you have to just be a little careful. Anyway, let's go back. In essence, he said the following. Says Rav Chatzko, before you begin to work on fear and punishment and focus on Gehenim, you must first ask yourself, who created Gehenim? Okay? The answer is obvious. You know, the same person said something to me. She says, do you think Hashem judges us on a curve?
We hope so. Yeah.
What?
We hope so.
So, in Chesed, you know, like, in other words, with our generation and the struggle. So I said, that's Noach. Noach ish tzadik tamim haya bedorasav. If Noach lived in the time of Abraham, he would have been nothing. In his generation, he was a good, righteous person. So I said, that's proof that Hashem judges us on a curve. Nobody should think so much of punishment in Gehenim that you're terrorized, that you can't walk. That's not what Hashem wants. Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha bo lefana birnana. We're coming up to Yom Tov. There is a mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov, on Yom Tov. There's a mitzvah to rejoice. In fact, going back to Rav Elimelech Biderman, he quotes something very, very beautiful. In regard to the Arba Minim, I know which Yom Tov we're coming up to, but in regard to the four species, okay, V'kachtam lechem b'yom harishon, pre-eitz hadar kapos tmarim, anaf eitz avos v'arvei nachal. You shall take for yourself, on the first day of Sukkot, the Arba Minim, lulav, esra, kadasim, and arabos, on the first day. Arba Minim is the oraisa on the first day only. V'samachta b'chagach v'ayisa ach sameach, shivas yamim is for 7 days. Rabbi Biderman says, the mitzvah of pre-eitz hadar kapos tmarim, of the Arba Minim, it's a mitzvah on the first day of Yom Tov, the oraisa. The mitzvah de'oraisa of Simchas Yom Tov is for all 7 days. So I just think it's important to point these perspectives out. Don't think it's healthy for any of us to go around imagining my whole life Gehenim right before me. On the other hand, yes, David HaMelech says, V'chatasi negdi sambit. Kapitel nun alav of Tehillim. His sin is before him always. On the other hand, Shavisi Hashem Menegdi Samir Hashem, the Baal Rachamim, is before me always. Okay, so what should you do, says Rav Chatzko? Does everyone understand the point I am trying to make?
Yes.
Pardon?
Yes.
Who created Gehenim? The answer is obvious. We already explained at length in the previous chapter. Contemplation must come for a question answer. Okay. The answer is Hashem. Hashem created Gehenim and he created the world. Okay. Who burns the wicked in Gehenim? The true and clear answer is that the fire is from Hashem because it is a product of his constant will. This is the healthy way of looking at Gehenim. Okay? I'm not laughing. I'm just laughing because Michal Horowitz just said something very different. I'm not saying we shouldn't imagine Gehenim. I'm not a Rav. I just think it's important. In the time we live, does Hashem judge us on a curve? We live in a difficult time. And we can't terrorize ourselves because if we do, we cannot serve Hashem b'simcha. That's all I'm trying to point out. Before considering the awesome punishment, consider the simple truth. Even punishment, i.e. even the fire of Gehenim, the fire of hell, is the creator who is punishing. If one fears Gehenim as a separate entity, he is separate from Hashem. Chas v'shalom. So in other words, what is the Mechaber saying? If you don't want to be distant from Hashem, if you don't want to forget Hashem, then you have to know that schar and reward and Olam Haba, and the revealed good is from Hashem, and that Onish and difficulty is also from Hashem. It's very hard for us, but we also know the Gemara says, called the Avad Rachman Ala Tavav, it said Rabbi Akiva. Everything the Rachman, the merciful one, does is for good. Somehow it's for good. I don't know how. I don't know how Zechariah Baumel's body, corpse, being missing for 37 years was good. I remember when his father died. His father, Allah Hashem, Nifter 7 years ago. I remember so clearly when his father died. I remember when I was standing where I read it. And it was so painful. The article said he spent his whole last years, 30 years of his life, searching for his son, turning over every stone, trying to find his son. Do I know how it's good? However, if schar and brachas from Hashem, then onesh and difficulty is also from Hashem. And if I try and separate and I say I only want to take the good from God and not take the difficulty, and I am distant from the Ribbono Shel Olam. Arami Oved Avi, that's the goal of our enemy. They introduce bad into our lives. No one says the Holocaust is good. It's a gezeira we can't understand. But what's the whole point of the enemy? It's not only to destroy our gashmias. The chol dar vador omdim aleinu lechaloseinu. Vihi sha'amda. What saves us in every generation? What's the vihi? Shisha sidrei mishnah, chamisha chumshei Torah, aseres adibros, Hashem is echad. i.e., what saves us in every generation? Not because we're so mighty, we're not so mighty. Not because we're so plentiful, we're not so plentiful. What's the only thing that saves us? Our kesher to Torah and spirituality. Arami Ovi Ravi, they try over and over, says the Sfas Emes, to make us forget. An Aramean wanted to destroy and sever, make me forget that there's a God in this world. How? Kol ben ha'yilad, ha'ar tashlichu. How? How, in the time of the Spanish Inquisition, the inquisitors would stand in the marketplace, Erev Pesach, and see which Christians were buying an excess of vegetables. And they knew that those were the Moranos. No, I shouldn't have said that word. They knew those were the conversos in every generation. They want us to forget the Ribono Shel Olam. And we can't. God forbid. And we don't. The proper method of fierce punishment is to recognize Hashem is the one who punishes. After that, you should understand that one tool uses for punishing is Gehenna. I'm just, as it's clear from my comments this evening, find this a little difficult. There is Onesh, and it's a principle of our faith and our Torah. But we live in a time when we are more weak. I think it's more helpful to focus on the positive aspects of our Avodas Hashem. Okay, I'll try not to say it again. That's totally near. After that, you should understand the one tool uses for punishing is Gehenna. You thus will fear punishment, not because you think of the punishment itself, but from an inner recognition of he who is given the warning and will recompense accordingly when the time comes. When you remember this, even when you think of punishment, so you're not separate from the Creator. So the key is to know, Hashem sends the good, Hashem sends the difficulty, Hashem says Gan Eden Bezos, Hashem creates Gehenna. If so, before working on envisioning the punishment, I'm in the middle of page 164, you should speak to the Creator and say, Master of the world, I've read in the words of Chazal that there is Gehenna. Who created Gehenna? You did. Who maintains it each moment? You. Master of the world, you said if a Jew sins, you yourself will punish him. I fear your punishment. And this way you connect to the Creator even while contemplating his punishment. Does anyone have questions or comments? Okay. So, Rav Soloveitchik has an interesting approach that I think complements or balances this out. If you would ask me, says the Rav, what is the most important principle in Yahadus? What's the most important principle in Judaism? And does the Torah demand, and what does the Torah demand from a Jew as a price for Kedusha? What is the price that the Torah demands in exchange for Kedusha Yisrael? I would say one thing, respect for boundary lines. Right, what does this mean? If you want to stop a beast, an animal, from entering your property, how can you stop an animal from entering your property? I can't hear. What did you say, sir? Oh, very nice. Yeah. You put up a fence. It will physically prevent the animal from entering and trespassing. A human being does not need a fence, a physical obstruction. We should say a Jew should not need one. Sometimes human beings do need physical obstruction. A sign will be enough not to trespass if he is a decent person. What does the Torah want? A Jew should be capable of respecting boundary lines of the Torah. And there should be no need for sanctions. For instance, we respect the law. Listen what the Rav says. Are you listening carefully? It relates exactly to our shir. There are two ways to respect the law, ahava and yira. What are those two ways? Ahava, to love Hashem. Yira, to revere or fear Hashem. Each law is provided with sanctions. On the other hand, we can respect the law freely. Quote, there is no need for threats. If an individual will not violate the law, there's no need for sanction. Here we go. If you observe a law because you're afraid of sanction, ready? This ties in exactly what we're speaking about. And what I'm trying to point out is that we have too much fear of Onesh. If I imagine, no one should imagine this, that God is standing over me, chas v'sham, with a gun pointed at my head. So the Rav says, if you observe the law because you are afraid of sanctions, that's not an act of Kedusha. It's not even a moral act. It's a legal performance. Mm-hmm. I don't steal, says the Rav. Let's say a person doesn't steal. Why? What does it mean they're afraid of the law of sanction? I'm afraid of jail. I don't steal because I'm afraid of jail. The fact that I abstain from killing, from stealing, because of the jail, so that doesn't give me the status of a moral personality. That gives me the status of what?
A law-abiding citizen.
I'm a law-abiding citizen. Does that mean I'm necessarily a moral person?
No. No. Just, you're
No, not necessarily. I'm afraid of getting a ticket if I speed. I'm afraid of going to jail. I'm afraid of what they'll write in the newspapers. It doesn't mean I'm a moral person. And then our Salvation quotes the Medrash, Rus Rabbah. Tells a story. Hadrian, the famous emperor during the time of Bar Kokhba, said to Rav Yehoshua ben Hananya, that says, there's a pasuk that says, a dog which is alive is superior to a dead lion. A dog that is alive is superior to a dead lion. If so, said Hadrian, the famous emperor, I am superior to your teacher, Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay, I might be a dog, but I'm a living dog. Moshe is a lion, but he is a dead lion. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya said to Hadrian, are you ready for a test? Let's find out if your statement is right or wrong. So he said, let's make a law in Rome. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Hananya said, let's make a law in Rome. No one should light a match or a fire within a certain 24-hour period. All of Rome should get along in the dark without fire. Whoever violates will be executed. Hadrian said, okay, all right. Whoever will light the smallest candle will be punishable with death. Hadrian was so sure that his people would listen to him that he said, not one day's no candle, no fire, 3 days. At the end of 3 days, he went to Hadrian. Rabbi Shuvah Hanani went to Hadrian. This is a medrash. And he said, let's go up to the roof. And what did they see when they went up to the roof?
Light.
Smoke curling up from the houses. So he said to Hadrian, you see, you are the living lion, but your edict is not carried out. Moshe said, as a messenger of the Ribbono Shel Olam, Eshab Sosai Tishmu, you should guard my Sabbath. And you would go onto the roof, you would not find a single candle within miles and miles. So apparently Moshe's authority is stronger. I just want to say, did anyone see Mishpacha this week? I've been quoting it in all my classes, all different articles. It was an excellent, there was so much to read this past week. Did anyone see the article by Eitan Kobri about text messaging? Yes, the Rebbetzin saw. It was outstanding. You should know, before I even read it, last Thursday night, at 4:30 p.m., I was going to clean my back fridge for Pesach, which takes an hour, just the fridge. I put my phone on airplane mode, 4:30 p.m. last Thursday. It was before I read that. I don't read Mishpacha till Shabbos, really, B'nai Neda. And I didn't turn on until 8 o'clock at night. I put on airplane mode. I took my boys on errands. I didn't even have. I said, I don't care. I went back to olden days. The one he saw, and I come home, my daughter says, Mommy, I'm trying to reach you. Where are you? He writes about how, Rahmana l'Tzlam, people are, you know, we consider it such a feat. Maybe not you. For me, it was a big deal that I was able to be mamish 3.5 hours, including going out on errands. You know what happened? Nothing. Mashiach didn't come, and nothing happened. And Baruch Shem, everything was fine. So it was, if you could get it, you should really read it. It was Eitan Kobri on text messaging. He was quoting a different article from the secular world, someone from the New York Times who spoke about his problem. But I thought of Nancy. Why? Because whenever we talk about this, what does Nancy always say?
That you go without it for 25 hours.
Nancy always says, but you at least have Shabbos. And that was how Eitan Kobri ended. He said, at least we all have this 25-hour period without our phones. So when I read the story that the Medrash says, Lamaisa, it's true. You could try and try and try, but when Shabbos comes, it's not any Sayan, Baruch Hashem, sometimes for different generations, not Baruch it is. I mean, different generations in our generation, but for us it's not Nisayan. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya said to Hadrian, it's not true, because when you make an edict, there's smoke. And when Moshe makes an edict, there's not a candle for miles and miles. We tell a similar story, Pesach, about Levi Yitzchak Abarditchev, the great defender of the Jews. The first night of Pesach, he didn't want to start the Seder. Does anyone know the story with the Turkish shawls? The first night of Pesach, he didn't want to start the Seder. He sent two groups of people, the Berditcher, the great defender of the Jews, to carry out a certain mission. And he said, only when you come back will we start the Seder. What was the mission? One group of students should go out and find a Turkish shawl. Now, at this time, it was during the war with Turkey. Whoever had a Turkish shawl and did not deliver the shawl to the police was punished severely. He wanted his students to find dozens of Turkish shawls. Now, what happens if you find a Turkish shawl at that time? What do we say? Severe punishment. Another group, he said, go bring me back one fresh loaf of bread. Then he will start Avadim Hayinu. So the two groups went out. Quote, says Rav Salveji, Chassidim, the Rebbe tells them to do something, no questions. So they go out. It didn't take long. The group charged with the mission of finding Turkish shawls quickly had a dozen. And the group which was sent out to come to find bread came back. How do you think they came back? Empty-handed. Says Rav Soloveitchik, we observe the law. And sometimes it's a difficult law to be observed. All the laws of the Torah. Without any police department. Without any coercion. Without, quote, fear of jail or capital punishment. We don't need a physical fence. And we don't need a boundary around the law. I think it's an important balance. The point I'm trying to bring out in tonight's year is, yes, we have Yiras HaOnesh. But the healthy balance is we as Jews who serve the Hashem from Ahava and Yira don't need. We are a moral people. We don't not act. Someone's ringing. We don't not act because we are afraid of Onesh. We should also act because we love the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let's go. Page 164. Any questions or comments? As above, if a person wishes to attain, bottom of page 164, wishes to attain fear of punishment, but his ability to effectively use the power of a bottom paragraph of page 164.
No, that we should just... It's okay, just the sentence, wishing to attain a fear of punishment. Okay, but...
If a person wishes to attain fear of punishment, but his ability to effectively use the power of imagination, visualization is weak. So you can't imagine Gehinnom. You can't visualize Gehinnom. You have no idea what the flames look like. You don't want to think about it. You never thought about it. You can't think about it. So you should study Chazal. In addition, daven. What should you daven? You should daven to Hashem to help you realize Gehinnom. Ribbono Shel Olam, why did you create Gehinnom? So I would be afraid. What should I fear? Gehinnom or you? I should fear you. But I don't feel afraid. I know intellectually there's a Gehinnom. I know you created it. And you punish the wicked. But my feeling of fear is weak. Please help me for your punishment, whether of this world or the next. In this way, you should elaborate and ask Hashem to grant him his call of your... I want to know if you have any comments about what we're learning tonight, what we're learning from the Sefer, and what I'm trying to balance out based on other sources that I'm bringing. Yes?
Just one comment about the Sefer itself. I think that...
About?
But the Sefer that we're learning inside. He does keep saying, bringing it back to the fact that the punishment is from Hashem.
Correct.
He's trying, it seems like every time he's also kind of doing a little bit, not necessarily like the positive, like the way that you're doing it, but he keeps saying that while we're thinking of the fear of punishment, it shouldn't be only the punishment. We should always be thinking that it's
true.
You keep going back to that point.
Yes.
Almost every paragraph.
Correct. But what he's saying is that you should envision Hashem as the master of punishment. Is that how you want to envision Hashem? Mm. Shouldn't we envision the Ribbono Shel Olam as the Kel, HaGibar, HaGoldo, VaHanora, the Mechayim Isim, the Matir Asurim, Zachar Bamel, the Zokiv Kefufim, the Somech Noflim, the Rofei Cholim. I understand what he's trying to say, not to separate punishment with Hashem. So if something Chalil V'Chas happens to us, we understand it's from Hashem. And that's true, and that's correct. And we work on that. It's not an easy madrigal. We work on it very much. Hashem, you wanted this. It's difficult for me, but you wanted this. What did Yosef say? It's hard for me, but I know it's from Hashem. I think that there's an excessive focus on fearing God of punishment. And I don't know if that's the best approach for us. Yes. Okay.
But we say
Eshakol, because we don't want to... Vayar Elokim Eshkol Asher Asa V'nei Tov Me'od, from the end of Bereishis Perak Aleph. The call is also the Ra. Okay, so that's what you're saying, Rebbe Tzin.
When we're saying this bracha, you know, it's camouflaging the Ra to say Eshakol.
So to soften the blow a little.
Right.
Listen, the Torah has the klalos. There are two parashios of klalos. There's the bechukosai and there's the kisavo, and the klalos are difficult, and the difficult is an understatement. And the Torah lists that condition of details, the condition of Hester Panim, and we've Rachman Tzan gone through it in our history. No one should misunderstand what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that the nisyonos and the onesh and minasatim taritzchem beito balanced out with va'atzar so shemayim. They're both from Hashem. Rain in its time is from Hashem, and the heavens closing up is also from Hashem. I just don't know if it's the most positive thing for our avodas Hashem to be excessively focusing on Gehenim, to imagining the flames. I don't know. Rav Salavitch says we don't need a fence. We're not animals. We don't need fear. We can serve Hashem from Ahava. You can't find one loaf of bread. Nobody should go so far as to think God's standing over them with a gun pointed to their head. Yes.
So I think there were two separate things. The first, when you were describing the boundaries. It's interesting that in Parshas Yisro, when we describe Matan Torah, when the Torah describes Matan Torah, they keep using the word gvul. Like,
okay.
Boundaries seem to be like a prerequisite. So maybe the same way, like, the boundaries, like, understanding God has boundaries with punishment, that's a prerequisite to the Torah, it's the prerequisite to the Ahava. I don't think it limits our view of God, I think it's just a prerequisite of it. That, like, however much I love God, I still have to maintain what he's saying. So if sometimes that comes down to the base punishment fear, I don't know if it bothers me as much.
Okay. Okay. No, I think we should... I also agree that what should stop me from sin is fear of punishment, but I, and you could all disagree with me, find it a little bit difficult and excessive focus on studying Mesechus Kohenim, studying the Mesechus of what's going to happen in the Kever, over and over, the negativity, I find that a little bit difficult. It could be me. I'm just bringing some other sources. We could. Listen, bottom line, whatever stops you from sin, thumbs up. Good. However, we also have to make sure we have a positive relationship with of love, with Ribbono Shel Olam. Knesset Yisrael got married. The Harsinu is a chuppah. Yes.
I think it's also more.
And when the chassan and kala come to a chuppah, I'm sorry, I just want to finish my thought, I'm sorry. When a chassan and kala come to a chuppah, they're not shaking in their boots with each other. Vayhi biyam kechalos Hashem medaber es Moshe. It's the last pasuk of Perek Lamed Aleph. And while she says there that kechaloso is written like kala because in Sefer Shemos, because it was like a chuppah, and a chas and kala don't come, you know, with their swords drawn when they go to the chuppah. They come with love. Ahavta es Hashem Elokecha. It's the epitome of our expression of faith. If a person still does not fear... Wait, you start to say something. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Okay. If a person still does not feel fear of Gehenim, let's just finish up. And most people are in this category, he should turn to Hashem. What should he say? This reminded me of what Hani says about Korach. Korach wasn't punished because he was Korach. He was punished because he didn't... ask Hashem to help him change. So you should ask Hashem for help with everything. Ask Hashem every day. And if Hashem, in his infinite wisdom, says it's going to take 37 years, it's going to take 37 years. But you have to ask every single day. Master of the world, had you not told us through this farm that we must work on fear of punishment, I would not have done so. Why then am I working on it? I know that it is your will, it's the proper way. I ask you, help me attain fear of punishment. You want me to fear your punishment, and when you fear your punishment, your honor is increased. Do you see what I'm saying? I find this a little bit. Punishment, 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 punishment. Gehenim, gehenim, gehenim. Focus on the fact that there's onesh, but also positively motivate ourselves that there's schar. I know. Al tiyu kavadim hamsham shenasarav al menas lekabel pras. I know. Don't be so negative. We're coming up to the Zman Chirusin, and we're supposed to be Besimchadek. Oh, we're almost finished. Let's just finish. To illustrate, a father says to his son, if Esther would be very proud she was here. We're finishing a chapter. Baruch Hashem, that's a cause for Simcha. To illustrate, a father says to his son, if you don't do what I say, you may not come with us on the trip. By the way, be very careful. If you actually say that to the kid, make sure you carry it out. I'm not saying you should say that. But if you do say that, and don't give empty threats. Well, the worst things you could do in Chinuch. If you don't do what I say, you may not come with us on the trip we are planning. The son says, so I won't come. I don't care. So Hashem doesn't want to go. It's not a punishment. Besides the lack of interest in the trip, which is not the father's main concern, the son's response displays a lack of respect for his father's warning. Hashem's honor dictates Gehenim should cause us to tremble while recalling who created it and punishes there. Listen, it says about Yitzchak that when Esav came in before him, he saw Gehenim open under him. Okay, so I'm not saying we should never think of Gehenim. We should always also be a positive people who focuses on the Tova and the Simcha and the Rina. If you do not feel fear of Gehenim, you should ask Hashem to help you have Yiras HaOnash. This is the first aspect of fear, Yiras HaOnash, fear of punishment. May Hashem enable us all to attain it, to build and expand, and yes, our love of Him, our closeness to Him, and our heartfelt attachment to Him. So, Be'ez Hashem, Yishamer, Achodesh Tov, Benisan Ligalu, Benisan Asidin Ligal.